The beginning of a reign or a regency is a fragile time. Alliances shift, and people circle like carrion birds, hunting for the new leader's weaknesses. Sycophants tell leaders what they wish to hear, not what they need to hear. The beginning is a time for clarity and hard decisions, because those decisions set the tone for the entire reign. Saint Aaliyah of the Knife. The envoy from Shaddam IV arrived less than a month after Paul vanished into the desert. Aaliyah was astonished at how swiftly the exiled Carino emperor acted. Because the representative was so rushed, however, he had only a sketchy knowledge of the situation. The man knew that the twins had been born, that Chaney had died in childbirth, that Paul had surrendered to his blindness and vanished into the sandy wastelands. But he was unaware of the many dire decisions Aaliyah had made since then. He did not know that the steersman Edric and Reverend Mother Mohiam had both been executed, along with Corba the panegyrist. The envoy did not know that Shaddam's daughter Irulan was being held in a death cell, her fate undecided. Aaliyah chose to receive the man in an interior chamber with walls of thick plasmeld. Bright glow globes flooded the room with garish yellow illumination, not unlike the lighting in an interrogation chamber. She had asked Duncan and Stilgar to sit on either side of her. The long table's veneer of blue obsidian made its polished surface look like a window into the depths of a distant ocean. Stilgar growled, "We have not even announced formal plans for Muad'Dib's funeral, and this lackey comes like a vulture drawn to fresh meat. Official Lansrad representatives haven't arrived from Catane yet."
"It's been a month."
Aaliyah adjusted the sheathed kris knife that she always kept hanging on a thong around her neck.
"And the Lansrad has never moved quickly."
"I don't know why Muad'Dib bothered to keep them in the first place. We don't need their meetings and memoranda."
"They are a vestige of the old government, Stilgar. The forms must be obeyed."
She herself hadn't decided how much of a role, if any, she would let the Lansrad nobles have in her regency. Paul had not actually tried to eliminate them, but he had paid them little attention.
"The main question is, considering the travel times and the fact that we did not dispatch any notice whatsoever to Seleucus Secundus, how did their emissary get here so swiftly? Some spy must have rushed off within the first few days. How could Shaddam have already put a plan in place, if it is a plan?"
Brow furrowed with thought, Duncan Idaho sat upright in his chair as if he had forgotten how to relax. The man's dark curly hair and wide face had become so familiar to Aaliyah, who remembered him with a double vision. The old Duncan from the memories she'd obtained from her mother, superimposed over Aaliyah's own experiences with the Gola named Hate. His metal, artificial eyes, a jangling, discordant note on his otherwise human features, served to remind her of the new Duncan's dual origin. The Tliloxu had made their Gola into a Mentat, and now Duncan drew upon those cerebral abilities to offer a summation. "The conclusion is obvious. Someone in the exiled Carino court, perhaps Count Hazimir Fenring, was already prepared to act on the assumption that the original assassination plot would succeed. Although the conspiracy failed, Paul Atreides is still gone. The Carinos acted swiftly to fill the perceived power vacuum.
Shaddam will try to snatch back his throne. We should have killed him here when we had him prisoner after the Battle of Erekin," Stilgar said. "We must be ready when he makes his move."
Aaliyah sniffed.
"Maybe I'll have the envoy take Irulan's head back to her father. That message would never be misconstrued."
Even so, she knew that Paul would never have sanctioned Irulan's execution, despite her clear, if peripheral, role in the conspiracy.
Such an act would have grave, far-reaching consequences, Duncan warned.
You disagree?
Duncan raised his eyebrows, exposing more of the eerie eyes. I did not say that. I would take satisfaction in throttling that fine imperial neck, Stilgar admitted. Irulan has never been our friend, though she now insists she truly loved Muad'Dib. She may be saying that just to save her body's water. Aaliyah shook her head.
In that, she speaks the truth. Irulan reeks of it. She did love my brother. The question is whether to keep her as a tool whose worth has not yet been proven, or to waste her on a symbolic gesture that we cannot retract.
Maybe we should wait and hear what the envoy has to say, Duncan suggested. Aaliyah nodded, and her imposing Amazon guards led a statuesque and self-important man named Rivato through the winding passages of the fortress citadel to the brightly lit meeting room. Though the route was direct, the sheer length of the walk had confused and flustered him. Shutting him inside the thick-walled chamber with Aaliyah and her two companions, the female guards stationed themselves outside in the dusty passageway. Composing himself with an effort, the Seleucid envoy bowed deeply. Emperor Shaddam wishes to express his sorrow at the death of Paul Muad'Dib Atreides. They were rivals, yes, but Paul was also his son-in-law, wed to his eldest daughter. Rivato glanced around. I had hoped Princess Irulan might join us for this discussion.
She is otherwise occupied.
Aaliyah briefly considered throwing this man into the same death cell.
Why are you here?
They had placed no empty chair on the opposite side of the blue obsidian table, an intentional oversight that forced Rivato to remain on his feet as he faced the three inquisitors and kept him off balance and uncomfortable. He bowed again to hide the flicker of unease that crossed his face.
The Emperor dispatched me instantly upon learning the news, because the entire Imperium faces a crisis.
Shaddam is not the Emperor, Duncan pointed out. Stop referring to him as such.
Your pardon. Since I serve in his court on Seleucus Secundus, I tend to forget.
Regaining his momentum, Rivato forged ahead.
Despite the sad events, we have a tremendous opportunity to restore order. Since the fall of Shaddam IV, the Imperium has faced extreme turmoil and bloodshed. The jihad was driven by a man of great charisma. No one denies that. But with Muad'Dib gone, we can now return much-needed stability to the Imperium.
Aaliyah interrupted him.
The Imperium will stabilize under my regency. Paul's jihad ended almost 2 years ago, and our armies remain strong. We face fewer and fewer rebellious worlds.
The envoy tried to give a reassuring smile.
But there are still places that require, shall we say, considerably more diplomacy to settle things down.
A restoration of the Carino presence would calm the waters by providing continuity. Aaliyah regarded him coldly.
Muad'Dib has two children by his concubine Chaney, and these are his imperial heirs. The line of succession is clear. We have no further need of Carinos.
Rivato raised his hands in a placating gesture.
When he took Princess Irulan as his wife, Paul Muad'Dib recognized the need to maintain ties with the former imperial house. The long tradition of Carino rule dates back to the end of the Butlerian Jihad. If we strengthen those ties, it would benefit all humanity.
Stilgar pounced on the remarks.
You suggest that Muad'Dib's reign did not benefit humanity?
Ah, now that is for the historians to decide, and I am no historian.
Duncan folded his hands on the table. What are you, then?
I offer solutions to problems. After consulting with the Padishah, with Shaddam, we wanted to suggest ways to face this transition of rule. Suggestions, such as,
Aaliyah prodded.
Rejoining the bloodlines, in whatever manner, would eliminate much of the turmoil, heal the wounds. There are many possible avenues to accomplish this. For instance, you, Lady Aaliyah, might marry Shaddam. In name only, of course. It has been well established that Muad'Dib took Princess Irulan as his wife in name only. There is an obvious precedent.
Aaliyah bristled.
Shaddam's wives have not had a high survival rate. That is in the past, and he has been unmarried for years.
Nevertheless, the offer is unacceptable to the regent. Duncan's voice carried a slight undercurrent of jealousy, Aaliyah thought.
Tell us what other marriages you suggest, Stilgar said, so that we may scoff at those as well.
Unruffled, Rivado sorted through his fallback plans.
Shaddam has three surviving daughters, Wencesia, Chalice, and Josepha, and Muad'Dib has a young son. Perhaps the Atreides boy could be betrothed to a Carino daughter. The difference in ages is not so significant, considering the geriatric effects of melange.
Seeing their scowls, Rivado continued quickly. Similarly, the emperor's grandson, Faradin, by his daughter Wencesia, could be betrothed to the daughter of Muad'Dib. They are close enough in age. Aaliyah rose to her feet, a 16-year-old girl among grim men, yet she was obviously the one who wielded the power.
Rivato, we need time to consider what you've said.
If she let him continue to speak, she might order his execution after all, and then she would probably regret it.
I must attend to many pressing matters, including the state funeral for my brother.
And a Fremen funeral for Cheney,
Stilgar added in a low voice. She gave Rivato a cold smile.
Return to Seleucia and await our answer. You are dismissed.
With a hurried bow, the unsettled man withdrew, and the Amazon guards marched him away. As soon as the door closed again, Duncan said, his suggestions are not entirely without merit.
Oh, you would have me wed old Shaddam?
The Gola remained impassive, and Aaliyah wondered if he felt nothing for her after all. Or did he just hide it well?
I will hear no more of these dynastic absurdities.
With a brisk gesture, she cut off further discussion.
Duncan, there's something else I need you to do for me.